What up, folks? Get out the room. Special episode 100. The whole gang minus Scott. I don't know where he is right now, but he'll be back for part two, part one. However we fucking edit this shit, he'll be around. We here. We got Ryan in the house.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Statman. And also the effects man, Carl.
How's it going?
And your problematic bae, Tone, is out here.
Not Azalea Banks. We couldn't get her as a guest, but Tone. Not Azalea Banks. We couldn't
believe
get
it
her.
Or not, baby. Believe it or not, taking it old school.
Old school. Problematically. Yes, yeah, so check it out, man. This is episode 100, which means there is literally no certain direction in which this conversation will go, because that's how we started. Tangents, tangents, tangents. We used
Buckle
to keep it
up,
more.
Bitches.
Yeah, yeah. You know how we go. I've been drinking for a while. I don't know about y'all. So I'm going to just start how we used to start. Tonight's episode is sponsored by Tito's and Mountain Dew. If I have a heart attack, you know why.
Mountain Dew. I can't drink Mountain Dew. I'm allergic to it.
Well, this is the clear one. This is a Mountain Dew Ice. It doesn't have the dye that makes people
Razor blade?
Yeah.
That's literally what Mountain Dew does to me. It makes me piss razor blades.
It's the dye. Yep. See, y'all didn't even know that. Look at that. I'm here for you. But check it out, man. We are Get Out the Room. We have been doing this shit for 7 years now.
God damn.
Wow.
God damn.
Right?
That's longer than my last relationship.
Longer than my last three. Shit.
me and Carl, like, yeah, we got the same ladies. The same, you know,
same fucking house, same kids. I'm probably wearing the same drawers. Who knows?
Brother, I got you for Christmas special delivery. You know what I mean? You know, Fruit of the Loom, Biggs, two X's. You know what I mean? They roomy. They good. They fit good. We out here. But check it out, man. Y'all know how good it does. You can find us anywhere good. You can find us on Stitcher Radio, iTunes. I still think we are part of the Wicked Radio Network. Who's been down since day one? When nobody was listening to us, thank the Lord, because we probably would never have jobs if motherfuckers actually listening back then. So, but no. The Wicked Radio Network was listening. So thank y'all. We appreciate y'all. But check it out, man. We've been doing this for a long time. There have been a lot of fucking weird movies that have come out. So this portion of the show, we are going to talk about weird fucking movies that we have loved that not many people either knew about or just haven't watched since Get Out the Room started. There's probably going to be moments where we talk about some comic book shit because we're all nerds and that's what the fuck we talk about. And then we'll probably, you know, go in a couple different directions. So we just got prefaced with a film by Carl, so he's starting because this shit is some bullshit. I can't even. No.
Go ahead. I was making my list, and I'm like, I gotta throw something on here that I thoroughly enjoyed that nobody else did. So this was my pick, and apparently I picked correctly.
You picked super well, bro.
And now you have to understand, I'm a huge Kurt Russell fan. Love the man. Love.
Okay. You start in the right direction. All right,
so, when I found out he was in another horror movie, and it was also a Western, I was already enthralled. So, my pick that no one else has and no one else does is Bone Tomahawk. I just loved it. It was cheesy as hell.
It was terrible.
Pacing was not good, but I still enjoyed it. I enjoyed every cheese-filled second.
Ooh.
Oh.
So, Ryan,
Ryan's having a heart attack.
Ryan and I had the script for this early.
Yeah, I think I gave it to you, what, like 2014, 15?
Yeah, you sent it to me. So yeah. You were like, you need to check this out.
Right.
So I was like, you know, if Ryan's excited about this, then this shit has to have some type of legs.
So here's the thing. When I gave you that, it was supposed to happen then, but then they had there was a whole big drama where, like, the funding fell out, the people behind it, Calder Media, I think, one of the people behind it, there was a whole situation where, like, his father died, and then, like, there was a whole day to take time to take care of that, and they finally got it done, and then, you know, it came out in theaters, but, like, it was there and it was gone. And I didn't realize it came out until, like, I randomly saw it on, like, Amazon Prime. And that was, like, 2017. So I was like, oh, let me see this. Let me check it out. And I was like, oh. So I pulled out the script and went through and saw it. I was like, yeah, a lot's different. And I'm not knocking what they did. I mean, just to me, it just wasn't my thing. I know with movies, they'll, like, you'll have a whole script and they'll change the whole thing, and that's cool. But just, like, it was like what I read in that screenplay, it wasn't what I saw in that movie. And I was kind of like, for me, it was a letdown. It was fine, but it was just kind of like, all right, it could have been 30 minutes shorter. Like, you know, I love
Kurt Russell. Which is generally what happens with most films like that.
Right. And I love Kurt Russell, but he could have been sober through parts of that. I love you, Kurt, but you were hitting them shots a lot, and it shows.
Say that.
But it just, you know, it wasn't my thing. Like, I can't say it was, like, horrible. It wasn't, for me, what I thought I was going to get, I didn't get. And that's cool. That's fine. Like, but it just wasn't for me. I know people who love, people who've seen it, who love it, and people who hate it with a passion. So,
that's me. I have a bias against Westerns in general. So, you got to work a little harder for me to get me to enjoy a Western.
Well, let's be, I'm going to be fully honest. It's no Outlaw Jesse Wales.
I mean, it ain't near dark either, but you know, hey.
Right. You know, like, my favorite Western is Once Upon a Time in the West.
Right.
Like, Charles Bronson, like, we gonna get it, let's get it. So, like, that's the school I come from. Unforgiven, cool. But this was not that. You know what I mean? Like, this did not get there. And maybe it is the expectation, because I did have the script that I was like, this is how it's gonna play out. And it never got to that place. At all.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I wouldn't do it. That's just me.
But, I mean, I wouldn't do it, but I'm not going to tell somebody don't see it. Like, if you want to see it, and make your own opinion.
I mean, if that's your ministry, you know what I mean? Right. If that's your ministry, definitely. But I mean,
that's not the altar I can get up on, so.
Right, like, I'm not dying on that hill. That's not what I'm dying on.
Nope. I mean, there are hills I die on, but it's not that one.
Like, I would go in a lot of different directions before I died on that hill. But Carl, like, this you, so you got to finish this out before we go to the next. Before we go to the next one.
What do you want me to finish it out with?
However you want to finish this out before we move to the next film.
I say give it a shot. It's got some decent effects in it. It's got some gross crap. Get to see a guy cut in half from the butthole down.
Hey, that's a Friday night at certain bars. Look at
Stop it. Stop it, sir. Stop it.
People get down in leather bars. I'm just saying, no shade to anybody I know in the leather community, but just y'all.
Oh, my Lord.
Now I just got knocked out for myself. I just came for myself.
Look, we got one out here in D.C. that we went to. We ended up going there on a Wednesday, and Monday was like, hey, man, we have a lot of fun on Fridays. You guys should come back. I was like, hey, dog, I know I'm in a gay bar. I'm not upset about that. I had a great time. The folks here treated me incredibly well. What's the scene like on Fridays? And he explained it to me. I was like, hey, I'll be honest with you. That's not my ministry.
I mean, the fact that you went to a leather bar and didn't have to wear gas masks because it stunk, I mean, that's kudos. Kudos.
Oh, stop. Kudos.
I think it's only leather at certain times.
It's all
it's all the time. Can tell you that from the BDSM clubs. It's all the time.
All the time.
The leather, the latex, it's all ass cheeks and booty funk. It's not a pleasant.
Ain't no. All I'm saying is soap, water, and like baby wipes, and you good to go.
That don't. You can't do nothing.
You can't do that because them joints don't breathe though. Leather and latex does not breathe.
We should probably go. I'm
about to say, Ryan about to fuck himself up.
So randomly walk out the house tomorrow and be some dude leather, like dude from leather bar. Like, you said this about me. I'm like, you gonna be my ass, aren't you?
And it's cold out here. You came all the way out here in leather chaps to prove a point. Brother, it's 12 degrees out here.
In Pittsburgh, where it's already cold as fuck. Yeah. And white, but who cares for again?
See Ryan out here wild. I love every part of this.
I mean, you can add me on Twitter, Instagram, at DalvinHog87.
There you go.
I'm not gonna answer because I'm gonna mute your ass and not give a fuck. But
oh my god.
I cannot lie to you. I have missed this. This level of messy is exactly where I wanted.
It ain't like I called anybody out by name. Yeah.
Not yet.
Still early.
Yeah, the cups are super full, brother.
Yes. Yes, our cups runneth over, motherfucker.
And I'm sober right now. So, I mean, just think if I was drunk.
Just think.
I mean, you see, I haven't called on any sci-fi shows yet.
Yet.
Not yet.
These motherfuckers got to increase their budget.
Like, oh, man. But we,
That George R. Martin, that Night Flyers.
Let's wait. Come on. We going to get on them.
Who's up? Tone, you up next?
Okay. I guess I didn't call myself out. Okay, so... let me see. We're talking about three that ain't nobody seen. Well, this
it only
got
to be three. You can start with one and we go from there.
All right. Well, the first one I'm going to talk about is Annihilation.
Yes.
Awesome. That's an awesome choice.
Yes.
That's an awesome choice.
Yes.
It was not as well received as I wanted it to be.
Well, all of the last four film and sci-fi. Let's just go there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not a straightforward film either.
It's nowhere close to straightforward.
You gotta think on this.
Weird. It's circuitous. It takes a lot of thought. But it is good, and once you actually think about it, genuinely fucking scary. Yes, well acted, well directed,
good fucking visuals
in certain parts.
Yep.
Beautiful. You can tell where they ran out of money. And I'm not trying to be too shameful, but it is what it is.
I mean, John dies in the end running out of money. Where motherfuckers go from actual effects to fucking cardboard and flashcards and shit.
Okay, sir. I will not abide this John dies at the end shade.
You know just as well as I these motherfuckers had actual visual effects where a shape-shifting was taking place to the end. These motherfuckers had a orange screen. They didn't have a green screen. They had an orange screen with some blue lights flickering, and then they walked to a goddamn basketball court. Don't you dare sit up here and defend that shit.
Talk about
but the content was so good.
That needed a touch of Bradford Young. That needed some basic color touching. I'm not gonna do it.
No, you already started. You might as well finish.
Go ahead. Talk about
because you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I mean,
talk about Annihilation. We'll get that later. Go ahead.
You ain't shit for that, Ryan. You ain't shit. We won't continue.
He's so right. Carl, no, you didn't see Annihilation.
He ain't never wrong. Annihilation.
You saw Annihilation.
Annihilation was it was well written. It was well directed. It had a lack of wonderfully capable female actors. Mm-hmm. It was just great, and I don't feel like it got the.
She wasn't anti-black in this one. Oh shit!
Ooh.
For once. No, 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 no.
Wait,
fuck that.
Did you
we
say you
about
haven't
it.
Been drinking?
No, 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 no. I'm just, no, no, no. He trying to sparge me. That's what he's doing right now.
I'm just saying.
No, in this one instance. No, like, no. He right. He right.
Okay.
No, no, no. All of the female actors were great. Tessa Thompson was, for me, at least unrecognizable in this role, which I feel is like one of the tenets to good acting. I did not know it was her for a long while. Oh, she so was great in this shit.
She has so much presence.
Yeah, no, no. No, no. She was great in this shit. The storyline was great. What's the cat with the dreamy eyes and the curly hair, Oscar Isaacs or whatever that shit. Yeah. Where the fuck is
Oscar?
He was good.
He's made a career playing pretty ass husbands who have no depth.
Dude. Yeah. There you go.
I love him. But he's playing.
No, he was good. He just wasn't, you know, obviously he wasn't that memorable.
But it was clearly about women. That's what it was.
He is exactly. A leading man. He's a leading man in a supporting man's body.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that shit out loud? My
fault.
My fault.
I think you might have killed that.
I mean, there's a lot of them that do that. It's a lot.
And he played the role well. He was great in this shit. Like, you know, if you haven't seen this movie, Annihilation, Natalie Portman, it's just good. Like, go watch
Jennifer
it.
Jason Lee, Lord Jesus.
And damn, another one of those cats that's almost unrecognizable for other reasons, but still, like.
And don't get no shine.
No. She her gets none, but she's amazing. Watch. No, but she's amazing in this. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, I can't think of one role that wasn't fucking great. Like, this was a good fucking flick that nobody paid attention to that was really good. So I strongly suggest y'all see this.
Yeah.
Unless you're really stupid, then it's just going to piss
you off. No, that's absolutely true. If you don't like movies that make you think, skip this one.
Y'all not listen to us if that's the case.
That's
because we make y'all think. Y'all not listen to us. So y'all go see this.
Since we're talking about movies that make you think, I'm going to go here with one that people will probably not expect me to have liked and watched and probably hate, and everybody hated this year with Suspiria.
Talk to me more about this.
So you saw the original, right?
Yes.
So the Dario Argento original makes no sense.
No.
So
the remake, the reimagining, Luca Guadagnino did, and I apologize if I said his last name incorrectly, he actually filled in the blanks.
Yep. He made a full movie where Argento just gave you little fucking scenes.
And colors.
He gave you scenes and colors, palettes, blood, and madness. He did not connect any aspect of the original, which is why people found it brilliant.
Yeah.
But I'm with you.
But with Suspiria, with Luca's version, he actually grounded it in a real-life scenario where, like, it was the 70s, it was Germany, it was Meinhof, it was all the unrest going on. He grounded it in a sense of historical context, which allowed anybody who didn't see the first one to kind of go in with fresh eyes. The fact that the colors were there, but it was very subtle. It wasn't obvious. You know, the fact that women in the movie had agency. Everybody had agency, but, and I'm gonna nitpick, I love Electwack. What was her point in that movie?
Being black,
right? So to go back to another movie we all love.
I honestly think it's a template color,
right?
It's a palette.
I was like, so she's the Rochelle of this situation from The Craft.
Yep.
We're like, so clearly she's a powerful witch, but there's no, they don't give her any reason to be there, or like kind of like in The Craft or Rochelle, where it's like, you know, her stuff is like she's very powerful, but because it's dealing with her powers coming from her being black, that they're not really addressing her as like more derived with a sense of nature.
It's like the blacker you are, the more powerful you are. She powerful as fuck.
Right. But then we don't see that. she kind of does the dirty work of everyone else and wears great dresses. Always red.
That's where I'm going to get canceled.
Right. But I mean, you know, it's that's fair because it's like it was a really, it's really good, but it's like those things were there. And I was like, I like the spirit of this reimagining. Dakota Johnson was fucking amazing.
So like, before you go any further, Dakota Johnson, I've seen her in a few things. I've never been actually impressed by her.
That 50 Shades of Grey series was trash.
It's trash.
For so many reasons.
It was a money maker.
Gone head.
Yeah, it was a money maker. It was terrible. But I saw her in a joint with Rebel Wilson, where I thought she was actually pretty capable. I was like, okay.
And she did a movie before Suspiria with Luca and Tilda Swinton and like the dude from Bullhead, Mateus Schoenherz. Mm-hmm. And Ralph Ray Fiennes, that movie, A Bigger Than Fear Splash.
Yeah.
Very capable. Very capable.
Yeah, so when I came into this part, I was like, okay. She's moving in a direction to be an actress that you can't write off just by looking at.
Right.
You know, because I think that's what something like 50 Shades of Grey do for you.
Right.
Like, imagine if Jennifer Lawrence doesn't do The Hunger Games.
Well, she didn't need to do X-Men, but continue.
Look, that's a whole other thing. But if another actress not as good as Jennifer Lawrence does The Hunger Games, that shit turns into, what's that sparkly vampire film?
Twilight.
Yep.
It's Twilight now.
Right. Sure. But shout out to Kristen Stewart, who once she did those movies,
Yes.
Yo, she was amazing in Adventureland.
Yeah. Adventureland was fantastic.
But her career post Twilight has been on point and amazing.
Yeah, she did. She's been focused on a lot of indie shit.
Where she belongs.
But with Dakota Johnson, it's like the same thing where it's like people wrote her off of 50 Shades of Grey, but with this and these other movies after that, it was like here's someone you're like, oh, she's real good. She's holding her own with Tilda Swinton.
Yep.
That's not
there. You go.
That's not easy.
That's nowhere close to easy.
Like Tilda can walk in a room and eat everything.
Right.
Absolutely.
Tilda can walk into a room and just say nothing, and she already stole the scene from every damn body. And since we're here, Tilda Swinton, she's not getting an Oscar nomination, but she deserved it for all three roles she did. Period. All distinct, all powerful, all different. And also the fact that like what people don't want to talk about since, you know, with I guess we're now in this era of like dealing with Me Too and Time's Up with trauma, the movie effectively deals with the trauma of the Holocaust.
Right.
And like that's something to put that in context of that time period and the fact that at the time Germany still wasn't acknowledging that.
Yep.
And to put that in that context, it's like, we're going to do this front and center, have women be the focal point of this, and the one lone man, obviously played by Tilda Swinton, bear witness to that. That was powerful. Like, the movie was amazing. Yeah, it could have been shorter. It was extremely violent, which I liked. It was fun. That was fine. But for me, like,
more direct than the original.
Very direct. And the fact, I think people were bothered by that, and bothered by the fact that, it was literally... There was not one man in the movie save for Dr. Klemperer.
There weren't any men in the first one.
Right. But he was so weakened because he was so old. I think at least a lot of men I know who saw, they were like, I don't like this. Why they make him a sweet? But that's the whole point.
Right.
Like, this is a covenant, which is women are running this. Yeah. That is their power.
Yeah.
And he does not matter.
Men
and
don't
that
matter.
Was dope. Right. That was dope to me. It was like he was like what Luca was saying. Was like, men don't matter. Like, this is strictly about the women and their power, and just the, you know, how the violence and the stuff. It was very women centered. You know, the ending with that whole entire bloodbath. Like, I mean, with just spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, well, it's too bad. But like at the very end, when she like Dakota Johnson, Susie pulls her chest, like her skin, her body apart. You know it's a vagina. Like that is straight up, she pulls right, it is a vagina. Oof. And when you see it, it's like, oh. Like, and they show it. And it's like, oh. Oh, y'all went here.
I mean,
it's definitely something you should see. Like, you're not gonna like it because you're gonna be pissed off, and I'm gonna tell you to watch it again because it makes you think.
I think it's probably a double viewing.
Yeah.
Carl, you saw the original Suspiria?
Dude, I own it.
Okay.
And I saw it so long ago, I remember nothing.
It's okay.
I'm talking 30 years ago I saw it.
So the biggest thing you should take from the original Suspiria is the feeling, the color palette, and
the goblin soundtrack.
The fucking feeling that, like, the whole atmosphere that Dario Argento creates with that whole thing. Like, there, the reds, the blues, the yellows, the greens, the kaleidoscope feel, the blood, the dread, the whole shit is crazy.
Right.
Well, back in that era, that was like the whole, that was almost like the style that was going on overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Because you also had a Felucio whatever the hell his name was, with his oddball horror movies that didn't really make a lot of sense, but always had this impressive look to them.
People love those films.
Yeah.
It was God damn it. Because Anya is going to skewer us for not fucking remembering it, because this is her fucking wheelhouse. Shit.
I have a pile of them downstairs, and I can't even remember. Shit. I got ones in box sets and metal tins.
But you're right, though. Like, this comes on the tail end of some of those films from the 60s where there's a ton of gore, but not necessarily gory as we know it, but more like blood and blood for usage of artistic purposes and color.
Yeah, because kind of like Don't Look Now, like those, like that, but very right. How red pops so much in that movie, and like right. The colors were so prominent.
The blood is used as part of the color palette. Not like torture porn is like, let me show you innards to try and make you scared. It's a very different feel. But the original Suspiria is a film that, if watched now, if nobody tells you anything, you're going to come out of this film and be like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah.
You're not going to get it at all.
Mm-mm.
This film is a little bit more cohesive, if a little bit overlong.
Yeah.
But
at points overwrought.
True.
Like, it's very, the points where it's extra, like, yeah, this is extra as fuck, but yet I'm not turning away.
Yeah. Yeah.
What they did to Olga was fucked up. Like, that was like, I'm like, okay, at a certain point, you're like, okay, y'all need to stop.
Yeah, like, that's a lot.
You got the point, but they just kept going. It was just like, oh, shit. Like, y'all not done. You just kept going. Then when you thought it was done, they kept going even more. And I was just like, all right. You know, just that. And like, also, Tom York of Radiohead did the score for that.
Yep.
And it was on point for his first time. Like, that was amazing. And it fit. It made
it sounded sense. The way it was supposed to sound.
Yep. Definitely.
Right?
So, yeah, I say watch the spirit. Watch them both, but definitely, for me, I always say people who tell me, they see the first one. Like, see the first one. Be wowed by the colors and, like, the atmosphere, but don't expect to understand it. But then go back and watch the reimagining. Expect to understand it. But you'll be mad because it's not like the original. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. And you can be mad about it.
I mean, the original is spectacular in terms of visuals.
Right.
Tone, have you seen the original?
No, I've not.
Okay.
What?
So I'm I'm kind of blown by all this. I'm looking forward to it, though, now.
You should absolutely find it, whether you need to Kodi it, whether you need to go to an old, like, video shop. But the original, it's beautiful, man. It's a beautiful fucking film. This shit don't make a ton of sense, but it's fucking beautiful.
Oh, yeah, and the cameos, like, all the cameos of the women, like, Werner Fassbender's wife was in it. Jessica Harper from the original was in it. She has a cameo.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, no, like they do the movie justice, man. This, right. Like, if you've seen the original, you're a horror fan, I don't think you're going to see this and be upset by it. Mm-mm. I don't feel like you're going to feel like they've disrespected the original. Like, you're going to feel like they took it and went in a different direction to the point where they both of these movies stand on their own.
Right. And if you are upset by it, you're trash. So go ahead.
Right. Well, I might be on board with this one.
I don't care. You're trash.
Go. We had motherfuckers now. So I'm a good Fulci. That's what it is, Fulci.
Yeah.
Good call. So I'm gonna go in a little bit different direction with my film. It's a film called Raw.
Yes.
Is that the vegetarian one?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet. I've heard good things.
Dude, it's a 2016 film. It is about a family of vegetarians, and the youngest goes to veterinary school, and all the things that happen from that. This is a film that is, I think it's a French language film, I believe. Mm-hmm. It is shot, like, there's nothing particularly stunning about the visuals of this film, but there are absolutely stunning in the way the story is told. As things progress over the course of this film, you will simply just be left with a sense that I didn't think I would get to this place. In the, you know, the final 30 seconds or what have you, when you've watched an incredibly, like, a really good film, makes this shit excellent. It was one of my favorite films that I think it was on Netflix for a while.
I think it still is.
It may still be on Netflix. Fucking, dude, it is a really well done. I know a lot of people are afraid of it because of the subtitles, but this falls right into the same level of high tension with me. Now, y'all know I love me some high tension.
That is high praise.
Sure, I loved high tension. Oh, absolutely. Without a question. High Tension came out in 2003, right? And this came out in 2016. I will absolutely tell you that this film, it doesn't have, like, a, you know, a big fucking, you know, twist like High Tension does. But it'll stand on its own. No questions asked.
Damn.
Agreed.
Well, all you had to say was High Tension to me. Like, I'm in. I'm in.
Yeah.
Raw was really good. I was very surprised, and so I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, like, there's not a lot of funny shit to talk about this film, but it's just a good ass film.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
So, right. I'm gonna give you one that is kind of funny that we can actually kind of dissect and fuck around with.
I was about to say, I got one too. I got listed.
Go ahead. No, yeah, go ahead. Jump in, Carl.
It's probably what you have listed.
Say it.
What We Do in Shadows.
Dude.
Was that 2018?
No, I think it was 16.
I like that, though.
Taika Waititi.
Yep.
Jermaine. This
New Zealand.
Yeah, New Zealand. So this is the vampire version of Spinal Tap.
Pretty much.
And it is masterfully done.
We're not swearwolves. We're werewolves.
We're werewolves. Look, so it has Maury from fucking Flight of the Conchords in it. This is an incredible film. There's supposed to be a series starting up on Netflix because of it.
Yes.
This is an incredible film. I'm not sure. Ryan, did you see this?
I did. It's been a while, though.
Okay. And that's all right. Like, my wife and I watched this, and I sat back, and I was kind of amazed because I watched this after I watched Thor Ragnarok.
So did I.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm fresh off of Taika Waititi as Korg. Mm-hmm. So his voice as Korg is running in my head, and what he managed to create with Thor Ragnarok. And I watched this, and this is an incredibly different experience but similarly satisfying, man. And Jermaine Clement, you know, obviously everybody has an idea of what he's going to give you from Flight of the Conchords. I felt like this was exactly the type of thing he should be doing when he's not creating his own shit. Like, if you've ever seen Shark vs. Eagle, I think it was a New Zealand film he did with another New Zealand comedian that was really weird and indie and didn't get that well received here because a lot of people didn't really get it. What we do in the show, this is exactly the type of shit he should be doing. My bad, Carl. I love
it. No. It's very tongue in cheek, and you summed it up perfectly, saying it's like the Spinal Tap of horror movies. Because it takes all the tropes,
yep,
and throws them in your face and puts the little oddball twist to them. And it's a comedy, but it's not the laugh out loud comedy. It's more where you keep snickering to yourself and shaking your head comedy.
Yep. You're just like, holy shit, man. They got this shit so well, though. That's a great fucking choice. Goddamn.
But it was fun. It was well, it couldn't have been done better,
mm-hmm,
in my eyes, for this tongue-in-cheek stab at vampires / werewolves.
Yep. And, you know, for the way, you know, Tone talks about the fact that if your horror film costs a ton of money, you're not doing it right. They didn't spend any money on this shit.
No.
They didn't spend no money.
Not a penny. Not a penny.
Like, it was just a couple of the costumes, but for the most part, they ain't spend no money.
His dandy outfits were probably the most expensive thing.
Yeah, the dandy outfits, and then the look of their fake Count Orlok looking friend. Which, you know, for me, if you go back to Count Orlok, I'm here for it. Nosferatu is by far my favorite version of the original Dracula. So, you know, anything that kind of resembles that or plays off that, I'm here for. Yeah.
So what was your funny one?
So it's not even funny. It's just weird. It was Don't Breathe. Because I felt like Don't Breathe was a film that...
Wait, is this the one with... Jane Levy.
What's his name? Stephen Lang.
Yep.
Stephen Lang, that's who I was thinking about.
Jane Levy, Stephen Lang, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
It was a Fetty Alvarez film. Fetty gonna do what Fetty does. But there were a couple of moments in this film that were laughable and ridiculous. This is the kid from, 13 Reasons Why, or whatever?
Yes.
Dylan Minnette, that's his name.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
You got it right by the kid by 13 Reasons. You didn't have to do all that.
Look, I like the first season of 13 Reasons. The second season was a bit much. They strung it out too much. But the fact that they were using old fucking Detroit, old Michigan, and...
Old, burned out, gentrified
Michigan. Right. But there wasn't a whole lot of, like... fucking broke ass black people. I appreciated that shit.
Yeah.
Like, they went out of their way to make sure that this shit did not have a whole bunch of, you know, ghetto ass, you know, broke black folks. Like, they cool in my book. They good.
So you mean they represented reality? Gotcha.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, Trump's America is here. Here we go. Okay. Up right now.
I'm just saying. We more than a struggle. We are more than a struggle. That's all I'm saying.
But check it out. You know, Jane Levy, fresh off the end of Suburgatory. And, you know, we weren't really sure what she was going to be able to give us. And she turned in a great performance. There are moments of cinematography in here that are fucking great. But then there are moments that are fucking stupid. Because, you know, Stephen Lang's supposed to be a blind Green Beret. He just fucking y'all up in his house. Get the fuck out of here.
Right. And doing it with ease.
Yeah. Like, he knew the amount of steps from each wall in the house and shit. Get the fuck out of here. Carl, you saw this, right?
No, I didn't.
You didn't see Don't Breathe? Okay. All right. No.
But now let me ask you this. Is it his house?
It is his house.
He would know those steps.
But this is like every inch of every aspect. There's a couple moments within the film that will take you completely out of what you're watching. But yeah, it's wild as fuck.
So I'm just going to chime in right here for just a half a second.
Half a second, you done.
I know, right? I should have said a couple of seconds. I'm just going to say.
Like, Ryan's feeling real good being in the sea right now. He feels like this shit feels
right now. He's feeling good, and he as he should. This motherfucker is a charter member. Let's put the little charter insignia right by his name.
Right.
Like, he on that shit. All I'm going to say is this, like, as somebody who has served and knows what it takes to get into those special services things, yo, man, I was a state triple jump champion. Like, I was all the things that you were supposed to be to get into the special services, and I did not make it in. So, like, the cats that do make it in, I don't know. I might want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, It's his house. It's his field. Him, you know, he's been walking around this house his whole, you know, at least 5 foot, you know, at least 5 years. He knows all these joints. Like, I'm not saying it's impossible that he can know all this shit. Now, obviously, this is a movie. It's fantasized and all that other jazz. But, like, I'm not saying this shit is unrealistic.
In the same blurb, as soon as you realize this is his house, he knows every square inch, all you got to do with fuck with him is move his shit.
you move a fucking desk, you move a fucking, you know, chest of drawers somewhere, he won't know where it is.
Right.
I mean, yeah, but to that point, did they do that shit?
No.
Nope.
Motherfuckers are scared.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
motherfuckers went out fast.
Situational awareness is a real thing, yo. Like, look, it's a real
the
thing.
The fear caught these motherfuckers. That goddamn hysteria caught them. They was like, yeah, I can't think clearly.
What would Get Out the Room do? Move the hassock. All they had to do.
The first thing I'm doing is moving the biggest piece of furniture right in front of that fucking entranceway.
Dude,
that's the first thing I'm doing. Yo.
Close the goddamn door halfway.
Break a window.
Yeah.
I mean, break but that's window, what. Stuff. Yo, okay, here's the thing. Get out the room. Yo, if you ever find yourself in a situation with Zatoichi, the blind samurai, Carl, not your kid. just the blind samurai. Move some shit in front of a goddamn doorway, yo. Buy yourself some time, son. That's all you got to do. Then jump out the window and run the fuck away as fast
hopefully
as you can.
Hopefully he trips over it and bails himself.
Yet, or better yet, if you see a weird-looking house on the street by itself, don't go in.
Yep.
You know what? There you go. Yo.
That's why I want nobody black in that movie.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I feel like we shouldn't discourage white curiosity that much because, like, that's our only advantage. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can take advantage of white curiosity.
Holy shit.
When the revolution comes, that's going to be, like, our main salvo. So, like, we got to be... We have to curate white curiosity.
Out here like this, Carl? That's what we going to do out here?
Oh, my God.
Add it to my apology tour. It's all good. Like, whatever.
Wasn't going to say that.
Dude, but, there's a million YouTube videos of stupid-ass white people. That's all I got to say.
It's true.
There is a reason why I am called Problematic Bay. Like, I'm just saying.
Let's be real. If there was no white curiosity, we would not have horror movies.
Oh, no. White curiosity and bad decisions is why we have horror movies.
It's true.
And that was told to me by a freckle-faced White girl.
Stop.
With red hair. Okay. I'm gonna stop.
You already problematic. Don't make this shit personal. Look, Ryan already got the chaps dude showing up at his door. I should open your motherfucking door tomorrow.
You're gonna have the gingers rallying outside your place.
Okay.
I might.
Know how to fight.
Yes, they do.
They come out fighting.
And they already have no soul, so.
But they like fighting, and I might could swoop a couple of them off on the side. But no, you know, let's not do that. Okay, come on, let's move on.
What are you doing right now? What the hemoglobin and haberdashery are you doing? Shout out to Tony Baker, the comedian, fucking funny, and that's his catchphrase. But Ryan, you up next.
So I'm gonna take it to TV.
Oh.
I'm going to cover two things.
Dracula?
No. I'm not going to comment on that because I still follow the showrunner and we actually are on polite terms with each other.
We good.
There you go. We good. All right. There you go.
That's some good shit. Check it out. This is just like fucking Insecure. Growth.
There you go.
So there's two shows. There's Castle Rock, which unfortunately didn't work for me.
I don't even know if I saw that.
It was basically the Stephen King, where like it was basically the show was like pulling from Stephen King books and like kind of it took place in Castle Rock. Mm-hmm. The only reason why I care was because of Andre Holland.
Yep.
That was it. That was the only reason.
Was everything in the hospital?
It was all over Castle Rock, but it was like basically the prison, the hospital, houses, but it was just, it didn't work at all. You know, just once again, with like any cable shows now with streaming shows, if it's 13 episodes, like at least 10 or more, if you have filler, it just drags the show down.
Yeah, if you're in a binging platform, eight to 10 episodes tops.
Let's just give a shout out to the BBC and their 6-episode season.
You ain't never lying. You ain't never lying.
Amen.
Shout out to Carl for that because you ain't never lying. Yeah. 6 episodes, chock full of action.
And leaving you wanting fucking more and not getting it.
That's it. Unless
it was called Orphan Black. Continue.
That finished.
That was Canada.
Still, it was BBC America.
Yeah.
They funded that.
So BBC.
If someone tells me.
Oh, but shout out to Tatiana Maslany.
Right.
The show may not have been great. Her work on the show is off the charts.
Right.
Continue, my bad.
But like, no, it's fine. But Castle Rock, it didn't say, you know, the talents there. Jane Levy was in the show. Sissy Spacek, Andre Holland, the young Bill Skarsgård was in it. I think the younger one.
Yeah. Pennywise.
Yeah, Pennywise. What's his name? Jessica Lange's ex-husband, boyfriend, Shepherd. Not him. The other one. I'm blanking out on my older white men who are like really good. I think it's a Scott Glenn. I think that's the one.
Yeah, it is Scott Glenn.
So like great cast, you know, really strong. I know people who worked on in one, you know, context or other, or like actors on the show.
Melly Linsky's in that show.
Right. You know.
Who's actually a really good actress.
Right. It just didn't work. You know, really safe for Andre. And Cooley, I'm watching because of Andre, because it's Andre and he's on.
So is this before or after Moonlight?
After Moonlight.
Just right after Moonlight, right?
Probably, yeah. I think he did some theater after Moonlight and then like he went right into Castle Rock. So.
Okay.
It's a come up for him. I'm glad for him, but it didn't work. The other show that I'm going to talk about that did work is Hannibal.
Yeah. Here we go.
So
let's get it.
Hannibal was on point season one, episode 1.1 to season 3, episode
3.13. Yep.
It was never weak. Even episodes that weren't great were still better than anything that was on TV at that time.
There's never a show that's more visually arresting.
Visually arresting, acted well, written well, just on point across the board. But because of the fact that it was on at 10 o'clock at night on a Friday, NBC never promoted it.
There you go.
had it up against Blue Bloods in 2020 and all that stuff, where people who dedicate audiences are going to watch the show. And just NBC didn't respect it at all. It gave all their money, promotion money on Friday nights to Grimm and Dracula. Y'all saw what happened to Dracula. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
You see what happens to any TV show that's a genre show since then that has been on Friday nights. It just doesn't make it.
It doesn't work.
And Hannibal, if it had better promotion, the stronger everything, it would have lasted at least two more seasons.
Dude, the story was set up. They tweaked the story enough to give it legs for more seasons.
Right. But I do got bones to pick. Brian Fuller. So.
Here we go.
I love Brian Fuller. I love him to death.
I might have to abstain.
That's okay. This is all me.
Okay.
And I'm the kind of person that if he ever heard this, he can at me and we could talk.
Ooh.
So
oh.
My issue is, so we got to season three, it got canceled, and he spent between 2015 and 2017, 2 years of teasing the fans of like, oh, we might be able to do a fourth season. We just have to get the rights from MGM for like Clarice and all the stuff. We need to get these rights. And then it was all the back and forth.
Yeah.
This mofo went on how many shows and either left or got fired off of them, but you still can't give us a season four? Amazon Prime was like, sure.
Prime was set up to do Silence of the Lambs.
And they said it never happened. So Brian Fuller, I love your style. You're great. Great, great, great. But you're kind of trash with Hannibal. You know, shout out to your Twitter where you pop up with these Hannibal images, little pictures, artwork.
Yep.
You know, it's just like
boards.
But yet and still, you left Star Trek Discovery. You got fired from American Gods. What's popping, son?
Oof.
We can't get a season four on Amazon Prime? Because I'm sure MGM would definitely be right.
Because everybody said that he was leaving American Gods to do this.
Right, and it didn't happen.
So I thought that shit would just spin for him getting fired.
It did not. People were like, I will rearrange my schedule to do it. Like,
Brian Fuller is like that dude. Who, like, he got all the cosigns from your homies.
But he ain't shit.
All the pictures on the world.
But he ain't shit.
Yeah, there you go. In the relationship, he ain't shit.
Right.
That's Brian Fuller.
Like, it's just like, I love you, Brian.
He can't bring it through. He can't bring it through.
Right, and it could be a lot of things. Who knows? But it's just like, you know, I love the fact that you're like, you know, living your best life and hanging out with Sarah Paulson. That's your homegirl. Got your friends up in there. You know, you and what's the name? Player Lana Bloom, Caroline DeVernis are besties, and you hanging out in Montreal. That's cool. You could still give us a season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really could give us a season.
No, you gotta hit him. You gotta hit him with that Janet Jackson. What have you done for me lately?
I'm not mad because I mean I'm not making his money because I'm not. I don't have like X amount of shows in my name. I get it.
Not yet.
But I mean, I'm just saying. It's just you basically started Star Trek Discovery. You left that. You went to American Gods. You got fired off of that. And then you were like, basically, I'm doing Hannibal. You pretty much put it out there. That's what you were doing. And then nothing. And I'm kind of like, that's what why I
was
can't
that the
give
light?
It. Yeah. That's why I can't. I love Hannibal, and I will always mourn as not being on. But I can't give this full, like, stamp of, like, yes. Because I'm like, we could still have a season. When, like, fans of the show asked people on a show, would they come back? Gillian Anderson said, if he does it, I will come back. And Gillian Anderson does not do just anything. Like,
look, you have Mads. Mads locked down.
Mads. Hugh Dancy.
Yep. Locked Lawrence down. Lawrence was ready to go.
He was ready to go. Would have done Blackish and that.
Yep.
Like, everybody. And you look, storyline, plot lines are left, like, did Hannibal and, like, Will Graham survive that fall? Were Atlanta and Margo going to have a showdown with Hannibal whenever, if they did survive, because that was coming. Like, what, you know, what about the rest of the tech team at like the FBI? Are they gonna go after Hannibal for Beverly? Like, it's just, you know, was Hannibal gonna finally kill the dealer? It's just there's all these leftover plot lines that could be closed out and properly done in a season or two.
Awesome. Awesome shit. I'm disappointed we probably won't see the, I don't think we'll ever get the opportunity to see how that story ends.
Nope.
You know,
probably not. And by the time
he does it, no one's going to care.
The visuals.
That, so yeah, hard. That's the problem right there. That's the problem right there. That delayed gratification.
Mm-hmm.
The visuals are so good, man.
Oh my God. On like a fucking network with NBC? That gives us SBU and them dry ass, bland ass bullshit visuals. Shouts yep. to like, you know, what Mariska Hargitay, love you, but SBU can go.
Look, Mariska is getting a million. My boo is getting a million dollars an episode. Milk them every year they are willing to pay you.
That's fine, but
pay her all the money, all of it, all of it.
Yeah,
every year that they are willing to pay you, get that money, boo.
But then y'all bring on, instead of you get rid of Barba, you bring on the bland-ass dude from Chicago Fire and Wesley Snipes show that got canceled a couple years before.
Yep.
As a DA.
I mean, okay, we're not talking about that right now. I mean, you're not wrong, but still. We're not talking about that right now.
Again, y'all can at me. I'm at Dalvin Hall on Twitter.
Ooh.
I mean...
We're back out here, spicy. And now
I'm on Twitter more often. I got time. I'm in between
jobs. Oh, my man said,
oh no.
I got time, baby.
Y'all don't want that.
Fridays between 12 and 5 p.m. I got time.
No, okay. Hey, yo, I'm just going to tell y'all, all y'all rumors, do not try my man Ryan. You're not going to like what happens.
The fingertips of fire. Y'all don't want that shit.
I don't care what you done heard from this man. Stop it. Don't do it. It ain't going to work out good for you.
I will say that recently someone famous did try me because I was in a Twitter chain about something that happened with Donald Trump, and this person tried to get mad about something I said. I was like, well, if you had a career, you wouldn't be worried about what I said because you'd be working.
And that Oh, no. See, that's exactly what I'm telling y'all folks about this.
Don't do it.
I don't want it. It's unnecessary.
It's not in your best interest. You don't get the feeling hurt.
It's unnecessary. Tell them about that low T.
It ain't going to be good.
Stop it. Unnecessary.
All I'm saying is Hannibal is one of the
best. Did you just bring up low T?
I'm just saying.
I'm not going there.
Fucking with my man Ryan's going to drop you. I'm not doing that. I love the fact that
was the shit that brought Carl back. Out of all the shit that we were talking, he was like, you brought up low T?
I'm just saying. He's going to hurt your whole entire feelings. Your endocrine system is going to be fucked up. Don't do it.
Because Hannibal was probably one of the best TV shows on the air that NBC really fucked up on and never respected. And despite my quibbles with Brian Fuller, I love you, Brian, I do. It's just there's a trajectory. And once we left American Gods or whatever happened, because I mean, I know there was some mess with Men of Stars. You gave us the impression and you hinted that you were going into doing Hannibal. You left American Gods in 2016, 2017. I got Amazon Prime. I don't see Hannibal on the show list.
Yeah, shit ain't there, cuz.
Shit
ain't there.
I mean, we got Jack Ryan. Why? But I don't see Hannibal season 4.
But I'm going to say...
Hey, Mr. Filler, look, here's the thing. Yo, consult your general practitioner and then, tell him that you're feeling kind of low and that, you don't enjoy the same things you used to do. And then get on that low T joint. Because I feel like after this conversation, your testosterone is going to be dropped a little bit. Just holler at him. And if you got to do it, tell him you listen to Get Out the Room. And that's going to be all you need to know. I'm just looking out for him. That's all I'm doing. I'm looking out for him.
I mean, if my ass is blocked by Brian Fuller to over the weekend, it is what it is. I said what I said, but it is what it is.
While we're talking about this,
But I am not blocked by Mr. Brian Fuller, so I'm a let him know about that little teaser.
You'll get there. It's okay.
Make sure that he's okay.
You'll get there. It'll be fine. I did want to say this, though. Shout out to Billy Porter for being the flyest motherfucker at the Golden Globes.
Okay.
Oh,
when your man came out with the fucking cape with the
not only the flyest motherfucker, but can we talk about how the inside of the cape matched?
Dude, that is
like it wasn't just some plain shit. Like
the whole look was crucial. The whole look.
No, you got to coordinate. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And he nailed that shit.
This is fucking fire.
No, Mr. Porter came through.
If anybody saw Pose this past year,
Pray Tell
was by far my favorite character out of the entire show. In a show full of fantastically crafted three-dimensional characters that spoke to me in a real particular way because my uncle, you know, spent a lot of time in New York and he, you know, was living in that scene. He died of AIDS, I want to say 93. Like just fucking seeing three-dimensional representations of folks in that community during that time, that just spoke to me in a way that not much TV has outside of maybe Atlanta, right?
Can we just talk about the three-dimensional presentations? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we have a habit of presenting these, you know, these people, these like real life motherfucking people who have like, they grew up, they had, you know, moms and dads or sometimes it's moms or sometimes it's dads or like whatever. Like they grew up, they went to high school, they did their shit. Like they are real fucking people. And we present them in this one dimensional fucking box.
Yep.
And like, I just want to say like, yo, who's coming to dinner? Billy Porter, nigga. That's who's coming to dinner. You know what I mean? Like, you are not ready for this shit. Like, the motherfucker, like, he really did it in Pose. And on a side note, because he did it in Pose, he did it on American Horror Story, which is sort of our lane.
Yeah, with scamming ass Pete.
Dude, and the motherfucker was still on his point there.
Well,
like,
you knew I was coming. I was going to get the scamming ass Pete.
I had to give it to you. I had to get you there.
Look, I love scamming ass Pete because he's the same dude in every fucking thing he's in, which is hilarious to me. But American Horror Story this year, to go off of Ryan's jaunt in the TV, American Horror Story this season?
Yes.
Was probably the most complete season since Coven.
Don't even do probably, son.
Yeah, it was. And it was awesome. It included all of the other seasons in one way, shape, or form. They found ways to have tie-ins for all your favorite characters. Paulson was playing two and three characters. They did
and everything. She killed every single motherfucking
That's what Sarah Paulson
one
does.
Of those.
You know, she can act, look. She the new Meryl Streep. She can do anything you need her to do.
I'm on that. I'm on board with that.
She good. Gabourey Sidibe, like motherfuckers forgot about Gabourey. She can act. She came out, did her shit.
And motherfuckers acting like you forget about Gabourey. Come on now. Good. Come on now.
She gonna act, man. Like this.
Taissa came back. They all.
Look, I have fucked with Taissa Farmiga since we first saw her in this. And that one of the craziest things is that they managed to find ways to make everybody get some shine.
Absolutely.
Everybody felt like they were three-dimensional.
For the first time.
Right. Not just like four or five characters. Everybody got love, man. That shit was really fucking cool.
And Angela Bassett came back for 5 minutes and still wore that shit out.
Yeah, but it was like a dope-ass 5 minutes, though.
She did, though. It was like 5 minutes, and it was like, everybody was like, where's Marie Laveau? Like, I need Marie Laveau. She walked in the Grand Angels and walked out. I was like, there's Marie Laveau.
I was disappointed that Kathy Bates, she played a secondary role, but in the end, she wins. But you know what I mean? But the whole thing is just very strange to me. Because you had a season.
I don't know. I feel like Kathy Bates is that dude. I feel like she's that dude. Like, she's going to give it to you. And, you know, might not be the top role, but she's going to give it to you.
She's a scenery chewer.
Absolutely.
She's coming to chew the motherfucking scenery up. You know, when we've sat through a couple of seasons of American Horror Story, since we've been doing this show, we have seen some good, some bad, and some ugly American Horror Story.
Oh, I feel like since we've been doing this show, we've seen every season. And they ain't all been good. Frankly, most of them ain't been good.
Most of them don't last for 13 episodes and should probably be somewhere around 6. Roanoke was one that they found a way to try and flip the entire show on its head to give itself new life to get past episode 7.
There you go.
Still ran out of steam.
Absolutely.
Right? Was it Freak Show? You know, the best
show was all right. It was
Freak
all right.
Show was okay. Grace Gummer, Meryl's daughter, she was there.
Yes.
But that shit still ran us. The very best episode in that entire fucking series was the Freaks episode, One of Us. If you've ever seen the 1929 film Freaks about circus folk, they redid that. The famous scene from there. You know, my wife and I had recently just watched on Turner Movie Classics, Freaks. You know, it was like, this is strange. So by the time that came out, that was fresh in my mind. And I watched that shit and I was like, this is, you know, masterful to pull from that. But having all that said, the entire season didn't live up to that.
True.
You know, you look at Murder House or Death House or whatever that shit was. Asylum was great. You know, but you have shows where you're supposed to put a 70-year-old as, you know, Jessica Lange. As dope as she is, I love Jessica Lange. She's 70-plus, though, dog.
As you should. As you should. Right? I didn't realize she was 70-plus, though.
You know, like, there are limits to makeup, cuz. Let's be true about this.
I mean, you know, this is a real thing. It's the truth.
But, you know, let's be real. They create really good worlds and fucking, you know, the cast that they continue to bring back. They have a really talented group of actors that come back in our game. Every single one of these motherfuckers commit to everything that they do, and they're ready every time. And I'm here for it.
Yes, right? I agree. I definitely agree.
You know, what was it? Ethan Peters, wasn't it? Evan Peters.
Yeah, Evan. Yeah.
Evan Peters. He has had the biggest maturation as an actor that I have seen year over year. To the point where they use him because he's game, to the point where now he is the focal point. He's been carrying shows. He's carrying whole episodes.
Absolutely.
Evan Peters is an actor that you are lucky to have in your fucking, whatever, your film, your show, whatever. Evan Peters is an actor now. And I genuinely fool with this dude. So shout out to American Horror Story. But this past year, all of them have not been great, but they have done some incredible work over the course of the time that Get Out the Room has been on the air. So, shout out to y'all. Tone, you up?
I will just, you know, before I get on my shit, I would just say one of the things we have talked about on Get Out the Room is the idea of the theater trope. Mm-hmm. And, you know, American Horror Story is really doing that. Like, they are really working the idea, the spirit of the theater trope. And Evan Peterson is like... Evan Peters is a, you know, he's an example of that. He is a cat who came in young and kind of played his role. He was good giving game.
Yep.
And he made it work. So, again, if you don't listen to nothing else, just listen to this. Listen to us. Because we got your back and we know what we're doing.
Yep. Shit's real. So, Tone, you get one more horror joint. Then we gonna slide into some comic book shit just because I know y'all motherfuckers is dying to talk about that shit anyway.
Okay, so this is gonna be like sort of a out of the wall pick, but it's going to be, and Damon's gonna know exactly what I'm talking about. Sorry to bother you.
Yep.
Yeah. This is a straight up and down psychologically horrific fucking film.
Yeah.
But it is also funny and poignant and thought provoking.
Yep.
And yes, important. And it's a thriller. And it's all those things wrapped up in one. And if you did not go see this in the theaters when I told y'all to, because I know we talked about it, you gotta see it somewhere. Like, go to the barbershop, buy a bootleg, motherfucker, get it on iTunes or Google Play or Netflix or Hulu. Actually, I know for a fact it's on Hulu.
Yep.
Go watch that shit. It's fucking phenomenal. And
Boots Riley directed, Lakeith Stanfield and Tessa Thompson, Armie Hammer.
Yes.
Yep.
CBN. Yep. Yes. 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 Yeah. Yes. It's all the things. Yo, Terry Crews, if you want a little bit of comic relief, like, the joint is amazing. And I really feel like y'all need to see this shit. It is, it's all the things. It is.
Carl, you never saw Sorry to Bother, did you? So, this is one where, I don't know if you ever listened to our show on this one. You weren't on it, but if you haven't, even better. Go in blind. Go watch this fucking film.
No, I have Hulu, so I can watch it this weekend.
Sorry to Bother You. It's one of the films that, and, you know, obviously, you got a whole bunch of black, you know, co-stars on this goddamn show. So.
Oh, well, never mind then.
But understand, like, this speaks.
I think I've had my fill tonight. Thank you.
Okay, well, this is Sean talking. Sean.
Oh,
so I'm
Jesus.
Telling you.
Look.
You got to watch this show.
If we haven't been canceled yet, that shit right there absolutely going to get us canceled. Look, this speaks to a very particular black experience in this country. In a way that not many films get a chance to do. There will be some hyperbole. There will be some shit that, you know, is a little fantastical. But for the most part, there is just shit that happens here.
Is there a magical Negro?
We're all
several.
Magical Negroes.
All of them.
We're all
magical. All of the magical Negroes. All of them.
Let me check off that box.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go.
Look, is it better than Baby Boy? If they're magical Negroes, it is, sir. But
it's way better than
I
Baby
told
Boy.
You. We took it back to the original. We took it back to the original. Get out the room, folks.
Damn.
Yeah. But this is a really, really well-crafted film. For folks who don't know Boots Riley, frontman for The Coup, he had a song called Fat Cats and Bigger Fish. And the last verse of that song is roughly, you know, 90 seconds. This film is that expounded by 100%.
There you go. There you
97
go.
Minute film that last verse in Fat Cats and Bigger Fish breaks down in 90 seconds. But it
and to that point, extrapolated to the point where, you know, there are nooks and crannies in this film that, you know, and you know, like, damn, I'm gonna have to get really personal on this shit. Like, Damon and I work in the same spaces. We are corporate Negroes.
And, Ryan,
I mean, like, yo, I mean,
fucked up.
Yeah,
Ryan's there too.
This is what it is. Yo, Ryan too. Yeah, we for those of us who have to, you know, those of us who wear the mask to quote briefly off of Langston Hughes, like, this is a thing that we do. And this movie takes that idea and blows it up to its most extreme and ridiculous. ridiculous.
Duality of black men. You get fucking code switching and WEB to
board. Oh, all of it. All of it. And it all makes sense in a cohesive point. Which is to say, what I'm dealing with is social commentary and political commentary and satire and like straight up and down fucking psychological horror and thrillers and sci-fi all bundled up into this fucked up bastard package that somehow makes sense. It's fucking phenomenal. It's the best film I saw in the year. It's the best film I saw in 2018. And wow. I see a lot of fucking films.
That's like, pretty huge praise, man.
No, and it's well deserved. Like, go, like, I don't care what you got to do. Like, what's that old fucking, you can catch me on caravan, cross the desert like an airman. Like, wow. Do whatever the fuck you got to do, motherfucker. Get there how you got to get there. I don't care.
This shit got Tom singing out here. This motherfucker out here harmonizing.
I'm saying this motherfucker is that important. See this motherfucker how you, it. Sorry to bother you. Is the movie you got to see? Period. Get Out was a movie you had to see the year before.
In 2017. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the year you got. Is it? That's the film you got to see this year. It is amazing. Got to see
just like Us is gonna be in the movie we have to see for 2019.
I agree.
Absolutely. And it's on point with that joint. Yes, absolutely. See this motherfucker. It's on Hulu. It's free, motherfucker. Create a fake little email account, get on that joint, and then watch.
Yeah, you get a month free.
You get a month. Yeah, watch this motherfucker. You gonna like it. I guarantee you will like this shit. Watch Sorry to Bother You. Watch it.
Lakeith Stanfield from Atlanta is the star of the show, but
absolutely
overall, like, there are incredible performances in this film.
Yeah.
It's a deep film.
Tessa Thompson, Steven Yeun, Terry Crews, like, they all on point.
You take Danny a step
Glover.
Back.
Danny Glover, motherfucker, watch this shit.
Yeah, Danny Glover in here. He, you know, he's too old for this shit, but he out here. You know, take a step back, watch it.
Sacramento Connection, by the way. There you go.
There you go. So, Carl, that's next up for you. But we coming back to you, Carl. So, you get to choose.
Well, I got two things left.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Well, come on with it, then.
So,
come on.
I've got my all-time favorite movie that we discussed on the shows I was on.
Yep. Okay.
And then I have.
Okay, come on.
Then I have my favorite remake, which Ryan already kind of hit his with Suspiria there.
Mm-hmm.
And my all-time favorite that we ever reviewed as a team together was Byzantium.
Really?
Yes.
Really? That joint.
Okay. No. So keep this in mind with Gemma Arterton and Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah.
I was just looking at actually, I listened to that episode a couple of days ago, and I was just looking over all of the shit from that movie earlier today. So shout out to you, because that is an incredible film.
And then for the remakes, Stephen King's It was a huge success.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the one I'm going to bring up, though.
Okay.
Stephen King's was huge, but it was huge everywhere. There was like no one saying this is crap.
True.
So it was huge across the board. A remake I really enjoyed and thought was absolutely excellent happened to star Elijah Wood, and that was Maniac.
Yes. Hey, brother.
Atta boy.
You want some shit tonight, and I'm with you.
Ah, it's so good.
That movie was so... I mean, if you ever saw the original, it was good, but it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the original was not very artistic.
But this remake was just so on point, and he was so goddamn fucking creepy in that movie. And I loved the shout-out to the original movie poster of the reflection of him in the car door after he gets the girl at the parking garage. Because it's what's reflecting in the door is the original movie poster, just him doing it.
It's the only time you see Elijah Wood in the whole film.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're first person like playing James Bond. You know it's his voice.
Goldeneye.
You go through, yeah, exactly. Goldeneye. You go through the experience with him, but you don't actually see him. You see him, I think, at one point when he's in the apartment, in the mirror, in the bedroom. When he gets the older chick.
I think at the very end when the cops break in.
Right. Yeah, but this he's literally on scene for 90 seconds. Total. That's a fantastic choice, though, man. Good choice by you. I'm here for that.
But that's what I got.
Agreed.
That's a really, really good choice. I watched the original Maniac a couple months ago, and the first thing that stuck out to me was how rough it was. Like, I felt like it lacked a little bit of artistry, so to speak. But the remake is fantastic.
No, and bringing that up also, I still have not seen Horns.
Horns is a better film, believe it or not.
Far, far better, frankly.
Because that was Elijah's thing. He wanted to, I actually saw it on a special effects special where they were talking with one of the old school guys who started back in the 80s. And while doing the documentary on special effects, Elijah Wood showed up and he was actually coming to pick up his head from Sin City because he wanted to keep it. And he was talking to the guy saying, I'm starting my own production company and we're going to do horror movies in this documentary.
Look, the practical effects for Horns, the progression of the horns and all that went into that is really fucking incredible. And it's a good film. It's really enjoyable. I don't think a lot of people saw it. I think it was missed.
No, it was definitely missed.
But, you know, this is like, if you're a person, you know, who feels like you can't see Daniel Radcliffe outside of Harry Potter, you can't see Elijah Wood outside of, Lord of the Rings. These are the types of things that changed that for you.
Yeah, Horns made $3.9 million.
Jesus, that's no money. You can make $3.9 million in Rockville, Maryland. Straight up.
Ben Roethlisberger makes more now as a quarterback. Why?
You know what? The rape jokes and the Super Bowl jokes write themselves.
All right, here's the scarier part. It only made $173,000 in America. All the rest was overseas.
That was
a budget on that, Carl.
I don't think they're going to give it to me.
Yeah, when you get a return like that, there's probably not a whole lot of budget coming.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, that's that.
You said Horns. Hold on, let me. IMDb usually has it. Like, they'll put anybody's shit up and be like, well, it's up. Let me see. Usually they'll have it. They should have it. Let me see. No, they don't.
Yep. That's why they made no money.
Well, they would normally put it up, but, like, most movies they put it up, but I think this is, I'm surprised they didn't for this. Because I feel like they did it for Maniac, but not for this. Interesting.
It's difficult. Yeah. Excellent choice, man. Good shit. But real quick, before I have to let y'all go, because I know everybody else needs to go to sleep, I'm working from home tomorrow. I don't give a shit. But some of you guys might have responsibilities, might need to go.
Oh, damn, totally random. Maniac's budget was $6 million.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, estimated.
That's a really high budget.
But only it only made $21,000 in the U.S.
I mean, it didn't get a release at all.
Yeah.
We saw it. I saw it on a free pre-screen. I think I saw that shit with Joy.
Yeah, I saw it in a movie theater. It was
out. I saw it in a theater, but it was a free one. I saw that shit with Joy.
Yeah, $6 million, but they basically shot all in downtown Los Angeles. Probably most of it was because it was downtown Los Angeles. They shot in the industrial section, in actual apartments. Those were studios, like, so that probably wasn't money. That makes sense.
Man, they had to pay for the fucking permits and shit.
And Elijah Woods, I'm sure he wasn't cheap.
But did he EP on that?
If it's his company, he might have worked for free.
Right.
I think I want to say he did. I feel like he probably did. Let me see if they show it.
It was all those damn mannequins at $300 a pop.
Those are big ass mannequins, man. A ton of those fuckers, too. He's good and crazy in that shit.
Yeah. No, good. I don't think he didn't. It doesn't show him in the EP credits. Maybe he did, and it was just like a non-credit, but yeah, he's not in the listing for producers. So this might have been strictly whoever was the head producer for his company was probably one of the executive producers. Is this company even still open?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because I know he at one point stopped, which I was surprised at, but I don't know. I don't know. But go ahead. I'm just tangent. Sorry.
You ain't got to apologize for no tangents on this show.
Not this one. No.
So I want to get everybody to give their favorite comic book movie that is not Black Panther and not Infinity War.
Oh, you suck.
Right.
Really? You know.
Yeah.
Any time frame or since we started the show?
You better say any time frame.
Yeah.
No. Come on, give us some wiggle room. We did tangents. Come on, we need tangents.
All right. I'll give you any time frame. Yeah. Any time frame.
Blade.
Oh, good motherfucker. God damn it, he went first. Good choice. Wait,
guess what my choice is?
Iron Fist.
Oh, God, no. No, they shit all over my favorite character. They rubbed his face in it.
Yeah, it did.
My choice would be Blade 2.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good choice.
I think Blade 2 might be better than Blade 1.
To me, it's a vampire kung fu flick. And I love me my kung fu flicks.
It's a
different film. You're not wrong.
Ron Perlman in it.
It's a very different film.
But honestly,
your boyfriend Walking Dead is in it.
With the Ron Perlman little intro there, the first Hellboy would be my number two pick.
Yeah. First Hellboy I like a lot.
I'm going to go with Shazam. Any time frame, so I can do future.
I'm about to say the yet to be released Shazam.
Yes, I'm gonna go Shazam.
You are. I've got a lot of faith in Zachary Levy, man.
I do, son. I do. I feel like the previews I've shown has really he has really hit what Shazam means. And although we haven't seen it yet, and they're trying to be cool about it, I really do believe we're going to get a cameo from Black Adam portrayed by
Dwayne.
The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. He's an executive producer on this fucking flick. And he's been talked about this shit forever. The original movie was supposed to be a Black Adam flick. They didn't do it, whatever. But he's here. I think that he's going to come through. And Black Adam is, I've been on the record as this joint. He is my favorite villain, anti-hero. I think this is going to be the joint. I think it's going to be the move. So I'm all in on this Shazam shit. and I will be happy to include this on the 2019 apology tour, because I got some apologies to make on this episode, and we're going to do that. But
I'm just glad your ass didn't say Blade 3, because that one sucked.
Yeah, no. We're not doing
Blade 3. The funny thing about that, I literally just watched that tonight. It was on.
No. But yeah, I'm all in. I'm all in for this Shazam shit. I'm all in, 100%.
I think y'all motherfucking trying too hard. I was just gonna take Guardians of the Galaxy or fucking Thor Ragnarok. Fuck that. I'm taking Thor Ragnarok.
I mean, that's a good joint. It's a good joint.
The craziest part about Thor Ragnarok is watching the documentaries and finding out they didn't even have a full script.
Yep.
Most of that shit was off the fucking cuff.
Yep, and fucking every scene with Korg in it was not intended to be in the film. But Taika Waititi was killing every time he would do the dialogue, and they were like, yeah, we got to keep it in.
I believe every that. I believe that. I think that my homeboy figured out he had some timing after Ghostbusters 2, and was like, yo.
Hemsworth?
Funny. Yeah. And it worked out.
Yeah. Hemsworth good, man. His comedic timing is... it's fucking impeccable, and it changed the tenor of the Marvel universe.
It's far better than we give it credit for.
Sure. I have no problem admitting that.
Dude, just the first scenes when he's strung up in the chains. hold on. I'm not even moving this, I swear.
he's having so much fun.
No, he's so good. He's
the crazy
amazing.
Thing is, if you take the shit back to Cabin in the Woods, right, where you get to see a glimpse of who he might be one day. Because by the time Cabin in the Woods came out, that shit had already, Ryan, that shit had been on the show for like 3 years before then.
Something like that, yeah.
Yep.
So he was like, he was long before this shit, before he was going to be anything. Mm-hmm. You see glimpse of it there, to then see it on full display on Thor Ragnarok, where you have fucking Jeff Goldblum doing his zaddy most. His shtick, he's going all in.
The absolute most.
Oh, he's performing here Valentine's Day with his band.
He is a band?
Yeah.
I mean, dude's good. I fuck with him. Like, I love the fact how he's embraced his whole deal. I fuck with it.
That's why it's going to be majority black women, too. But continue.
You ain't never lie. I didn't see that coming. Fuck Goldblum.
That's
like,
why I said it. Again, I said what I said.
Yeah, I said it, motherfucker. You know what I said. You're
whenever his name comes up, you usually mention he's got a foot of dick.
Does he?
He does. No. That's facts.
Facts.
No, they were saying
not supposition, not rumor, but motherfucking facts.
They were like that. I forget who, but somehow they were able to figure that out. But like, apparently, what it was, he was in some photo and he was walking around with no underwear on, and you saw, and everybody was like, "Oh, wow!" Like, that's like he got black man dick.
That right there is the greatest thing I have ever heard.
Oh, yeah, it's up there. It's up there.
But he's white. But he got black man dick, but he's white.
Can we call Jeff Goldblum white, though? I mean, I feel like he's got like a special exemption, you know what I'm saying?
If he presents as white, he's white.
Swag on the 1,000, white man. It's okay.
All right, well, there you go. There you go.
Okay.
I feel like I shouldn't have said this, but this will probably be in the podcast. So again, I said what I said.
It's definitely in the podcast. You know I'm keeping that in. So I have a challenge for us. Okay. And it's not that big of a challenge, because I think it's a pretty easy fix. I'm going to start with Carl.
Okay.
Carl, how would you fix Green Lantern?
I cannot
answer that question.
You didn't see Green Lantern?
As soon as I saw the running diarrhea shit monster in space, I turned it off.
A parallax?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oof.
I'd take Ryan Reynolds out, I can tell you that.
And Blake Lively.
Yeah, Blake Lively's bad. She's very bad. All right, so you're off the Green Lantern train. Talon, I know what you're going to say. Ryan, you get to fix one portion of Green Lantern. What would it be?
Besides the whole movie? I mean, okay, one thing about Green Lantern, why wasn't Hal Stewart or any of the other Black Green Lanterns, anyone else not in the role? Like, why do we have to have Ryan Reynolds? Why do we have to have, was it Hal Jordan as the lead?
Yeah, it should have been
the least interesting Green Lantern of them all.
Literally.
Like, with everybody, every Black man who was working at that point when Green Lantern came out, like, who could have done it? Brits and all. Y'all go at Ryan Reynolds because he had sort of, like, a sort of a popularity that he, y'all thought he could hold this whole movie on his hand, on his shoulder.
I mean,
nobody could.
They placed it all on him.
At that point, he wasn't a good actor.
No, he's a better actor now, but even still.
But then, oh, he was rough.
I mean, he understands his limitations in terms of acting now.
Right. So, I mean, it's just another Green Lantern would have been fine. Like, another Green Lantern, better writing, better, you know, just those two things would have, like, for me, would have been like, if you did the change those two things, it would have been mediocre.
All right, Tom.
So which one are we talking about right now?
Green Lantern.
Okay, well.
How would you fix it?
I mean, damn. Okay. I got it. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to treat Tom Cruise as.
Hal. He was up for the role also. He wanted it.
We're going to treat him as Hal. He's going
to
be Hal.
Which makes a ton more sense, to be honest.
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to be Hal for a little bit. Then he's going to, at the end of the first movie, he's going to make his turn to Parallax.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to bring in somebody like, no, not that cat, because he's not going to be it anymore. But I would say, fuck it, let's make it M'Baku. We're going to bring M'Baku in here as Jon Stewart. He's going to be the one to put Parallax in his...
Winston Duke, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Winston, so Parallax or Sinestro? So is Tom Cruise turning to Sinestro, or is he turning to Parallax, and Winston Duke is going to be the one to bring him down as Jon Stewart?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a huge fucking move. That's a nice turn.
And then we got Jon Stewart in there as the, you know, as the real deal. And that's going to be the hero's journey.
I would take Trevante Rhodes as Jon Stewart.
Like, you just doing it because that motherfucker fine and the girls going to like him. And you might be right. But
that
being...
Oh, no, that's just... facts. He's right. He's right. Who do you think watched Bird Box? The one I watched with Sandra Bullock?
Yeah.
I mean, damn, y'all are not wrong.
So. I was watching Bird Box and I was thinking to myself, there are a lot of Black women who are angry at this film.
Yes, I was on Twitter that night. They were going in.
I'm just going to say the way that Sandra Bullock threw her legs up was completely antithetical to the way it should have been done. So I'm on board. I'm saying she did not know what she was doing. She was not prepared.
Well, they didn't have any real chemistry, though.
Nah, they didn't. You can see it coming, but they had no chemistry. It's true.
None at all. But back to the thing at hand.
Yeah, I think Trevante Rhodes would be an incredible Jon Stewart, just because everything I've seen him in as an action person, he does very well in. He obviously swole. He can.
Well, that Predator reboot was.
Holy shit. What, T.T.'s in the movie?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So, you know, so we got a Black dude who's got the regimented sort of swag.
He looks like he might have been a Marine architect, you know. Sure. So we bring that cat in there. We bring somebody like Tom Cruise in there to be, you know, Hal Jordan, because Hal Jordan is an asshole. And Tom Cruise is really good at playing assholes. And I'm not going to say what that means about his, you know, personal spirit animal or whatever. But that being said, it could work. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I'm happy with it. I'm here for it.
And I knew you knew this shit in the beginning. So, like, fuck you for, like, leading me into this shit by the nose. It is
I got a question for the group, because this actually came out not even a week ago in a nerd fest in a biomed's office in a hospital I was making a delivery to. This is to all three of you. Now, we won out on these movies. We were not kind to these movies because we picked out every flaw, but these movies are still considered great. But my question to you is, if you pulled Heath Ledger out of the Dark Knight trilogy, could you even go back and look at them and think they're even good?
Nope.
Batman Begins, nah. Yes.
Nah.
Yes, nope. Batman Begins, yes. Mm-mm. Batman Begins is one of the most practical uses of comic book lore that I've ever seen. They take Ninja, they take the Gauntlets, they take Ra's al Ghul, like all of that aspect is one of the most practical applications of the comic book Batman lore that I've ever seen. That aspect, Batman Begins, makes sense. Literally everything after that you can toss away. Without Heath Ledger, toss that shit away. Without the agent of chaos that the Joker and Heath Ledger created, throw away.
Because I basically, the guy was raving about the Dark Knight trilogy being the best comic hero movies, and I literally looked the guy in the face. This is a room full of 12 technicians. And I looked at him and I'm like, you take Heath Ledger out of that scenario, and for the most part, those movies are garbage.
Yeah.
And two guys actually stood up and applauded. They're like, thank you. We've been telling them that for years. I'm like,
that's hard.
Batman retires after a knee injury.
Right.
But the Magical's black zip tie now can make him, with a bare foot, kick rock into dust.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's so much stupid shit.
Yeah, you know, The Dark Knight Retires is just not a great film.
Nope,
my bad. Is that what I call that shit? My fault. Like, and here's the thing. Obviously, Ryan's alumnus, Anne Hathaway, does her little thing.
She's not my alumnus.
She ain't go to Oberlin?
No.
Where'd she go?
Tufts.
She went to Tufts?
Yeah.
I thought she went to Oberlin. My bad. I'm sorry. All right. Don't let me put that slander on your school then.
I mean, we already got fucking Lena Dunham slander and she went there, but go ahead.
Yeah, she's whack though. She's
trash.
Yeah, I don't fuck with Lenny at all.
But I mean, no, I like Anna's Catwoman. People didn't, but
I did actually like her.
I felt like she was the more grounded out of all of them.
Yeah. I like Anne Hathaway in this. I can't always rock with her, but I'll fuck with her here.
I mean, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is always good for a great performance. He was good in this.
That motherfucker, like, you could take this whole thing further
with off him.
Of Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I mean, that was the whole drug. That was a hint they dropped.
I would love to see a Nightwing franchise with him. Start with Robin. Let him be fucking Nightwing.
Right, that's pretty much, I think that was the whole, he probably would have been Nightwing, ideally.
Yeah, I think so too.
And obviously with the drop footage where they, you know, where Ellen Page came, even though she wasn't in the movie, she was basically slated to be Barbara Gordon.
Right.
But for some reason they didn't add that in, but she was definitely on set.
She was either going to be Barbara Gordon or she was going to be, who was the, Carrie, from The Dark Knight Returns.
The female Robin?
Yeah, she was a female Robin. The short red hair, glasses, looked like Ellen Page.
But they definitely, I remember seeing on her chair, they have Barbara Gordon on the back of it. So
which would make sense, but then she was going to be Oracle, right?
Right, which is Barbara Gordon, I think, what we know as.
Right.
Yeah, so it would have been her. You know, if that happened, I mean, Tom Hardy, I can't blame him because that was just horrible writing.
I actually think Tom Hardy made the most out of that.
I mean, yeah, besides the fact that he wasn't Latino, but, you know, again,
nitpicking,
out of the voice. My bad.
Or 6'8".
Right.
Yeah, 5'6".
And have, like, 11 degrees.
Yeah.
He's a genius. Right. He's actually smarter than Batman.
Yeah, Bane is a certified...
We won't get into that.
They dumbed down Bane's entire background and made him a fucking brute.
And not even a strong one at that, because Catwoman took him out with one gun blast.
Right.
At the end.
Out of here. You know, it's weird. It's weird, because you have these characters who have so much lore, so much history, so much background. You know, and you throw all that to the side on mere performance. And again, I like Tom Hardy. I think he's dope.
I wouldn't have been mad if they made him a white Argentinian.
True.
And he didn't have to speak. He didn't have to speak Spanish. I mean, Argentinians speak Spanish. They're also German. So he didn't have to do that.
Do anything. You can mix that background with any number of facts, and that should be okay. But the fact that you merely adopted the dog.
I was born in it.
Yeah, like that whole shit. Like, come on.
And Marion Cotillard was the entire way as Talia al Ghul. What was the point?
And the thing is, I love me some Marion Cotillard. Like, that's my French bae. Like, I love her. Ever since Love Me If You Dare. You know, it was a focus feature when she was probably 23, something like that. I absolutely loved that film. That was the first time I saw her, and I was just like, she can act in a language I didn't speak. And I was like, I fuck with this, right?
Right.
This is one of the few times I was like, she bad. This not good. this ain't good. Her death scene was the worst death scene in the history of death scenes.
Yeah. All I kept thinking was, I hope they paid her a lot of money for, like, however long she stayed on. She was in Pittsburgh to shoot that movie, because she wasn't there long.
No, she had to get her money up front.
I mean, for sure. And I was like, yeah, this is bad. This is bad.
Yeah, no, it was bad. And the worst part, you have, like, real legitimate actors.
Mm-hmm.
They're not fake actors. These motherfuckers... You had a whole bunch of motherfuckers on screen who, if you put it down, they can go.
Mm-hmm.
And the script let them down.
Yeah.
And also, the guy was giving credit to Chris Nolan for what he did with the Joker. Right. And I'm like, dude, pretty much 95% of what the Joker did on screen was all Heath.
Yeah, it was all Heath. He fucking did research on Tom Waits. There is an old Tom Waits interview where he sounds almost identical. The cracked voice, the pitching up and down, the almost in and out of reality speech.
Mm-hmm.
Almost.
I'm talking about, like, the actual lines coming out of the Joker's mouth.
No. I'm going to find this fucking interview.
Oh, I've seen the interview.
That shit is... It's like, oh, so that's where he got it from. That shit's incredible, man. He found a way to channel that in with these lines. The movements, the licking of the lips, the, you know, the mannerisms, the whole deal.
And the Joker's videos that he did of, like, the cop tied up and everything, that was all Heath. He went out with a cameraman and shot those all on his own with no help from Christopher or nothing. That was all Heath.
He deserved the posthumous Oscar.
Yeah, he really did. That is definitely true.
Yeah, no, the whole trilogy is not great. You take Heath Ledger out of here, and you got a really big anchor with a fucking listless-ass ship.
Yep. That is correct.
Tom, you still with us? Mm-mm.
I think he left.
He's still up on the screen.
It's on the screen. Mike could be sleeping.
But then he would do that all the time. Like, telling you that, oh, wait, he left. Oh, could you at least log out?
He the only one on West Coast.
It's only like 10. It's earliest where he's at.
Right? It ain't even midnight.
I got to get up in 4 hours and drive a truck and kill people when I fall asleep behind a wheel.
You ain't never lie. Don't talk that into existence.
Right?
You gonna make it, though. You going to make it. Mountain Dew and Red Bull.
White Mountain Dew.
No kidney stones. Don't get to die. Look. Hey, man. I appreciate y'all. This shit was fun, man. I missed y'all.
Yeah.
This had the old school energy. This has been episode 100, part one. If we find Scott, unless he got abducted, we'll figure out part two where we...
Wait, was it just us? Because I saw, like, was Sierra and Gianna supposed
to be? Yeah, Sierra and Gianna, they may be able to make part two.
Siren, who, like, you know, I love Siren, but it's like, you just basically in absentia.
He always in the back. He in the background. I talk to that dude all the time. He in the background. He working hard. If anything, I need him to get this motherfucker to make us a goddamn theme song so I can stop stealing somebody else's music. Shh. But,
I mean, it ain't nothing that's, like, copyrighted.
Well, as far as we know, we've only used this shit 100 goddamn times. But, this has been episode 100.
The name of our theme song should be Tangents.
Dude, let's make it. Let's make a fucking song called Tangents. We can then charge other motherfuckers for use of. All we do is go
tangent. It should be Tangent. It should be like the whole theme song should be like a sleep music channel.
Dude, somebody's going to sleep. I don't know who's going to be. Somebody's going to sleep.
It's clearly it was Tony.
Start late, go sleep early. It happens. Oh, my people.
I'm the only motherfucker on time. That's the scariest part.
That's 10:30. Look, I got an email that was like, your party are waiting for you. Start the meeting. Carl was in here and ready. Tell your lady we appreciate you. Appreciate her letting us borrow you for another evening. I'm gonna call again, Ryan. You know I'm calling your ass again.
I mean, just let me know when it is. I can right now. It's like Thursdays are the one day I know I for sure I can be here right now. It'll probably change when my ass is actually working again. But
I'm sure.
Thursdays, but even probably not if I was working, I still would be here. I just would be way more pissed because I had to get up in the morning.
Maybe we'll start on time. We'll see if that happens.
That's not going to happen. Cause that means
that'll never happen.
It's never going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
But yeah, man. Get out the room. Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Y'all know what time it is. Y'all catch us. We'll see y'all in part two. Appreciate y'all. Y'all been rocking with us for so long. 7 years.
Yes. Peace.
Love y'all. We out.